Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 20. Our air date is Thursday, July 18th, 2024. I am your host, C. Willie, joined again by the lovely and talented
Connor Babe.
Still hasn't kicked me out of the house. I'm feeling pretty good about all that right now. What I'm really feeling good about tonight, though, is we have a special guest here with us, and we're really excited to have him on the show. Jake Hauser is here. Jake, welcome to Vehicle City Sound.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's love to be here.
Got a lot, awful lot going on. We're looking forward to talking about this tonight. Just a real exciting time in your career, I've got to believe, right now.
Oh, yeah. It's it's a little unexpected. I'm kind of still trying to figure out what to do with it all, to be honest. But, it seems it's just been one good thing after another. But I'm just blessed that it kind of turned out that way because, my family and I, we went through a whole lot of trouble, the last really about 3 years, so. It's nice to be, turning the bus to the other road or something, but
we're really happy that things are going the way they are for you right now. And we'll talk about that here as we go forward, but let's talk about your roots. Where did everything start as far as your music career is concerned?
Well, don't throw nothing at me, but I'm originally from Ohio.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's
it started out in good old Champaign County, Ohio. So my dad, he's from Colorado. My mom, she lived in Georgia for a good bit. And they met in Ohio. My dad was in the Air Force and he got out. That's how we all came to be. I'm one of seven. But my dad, he's a preacher. And that's how the music thing got started when I was probably about like 8 or 9 years old. And I remember there was a kid that I was friends with and he had a guitar and he could play Smoke on the Water. And I was really jealous about that, because all the girls thought he was super cool. So I decided, I'm going to beg my dad for a guitar. And then sure enough, he said, yeah, but under one condition. He would get me a guitar if I played in the church band. And so the church band, it's not like, the flashy stuff that you see nowadays where it looks super cool and stuff. It was, we had a banjo player, a mandolin player, a choir of old ladies, three guitar players, and then we had one guy who was kind of like the lead singer of everybody. And he's kind of who I learned how to sing from. His name was Abe Lowe. And, we just play, kind of traditional country bluegrass gospel stuff, like The Circle Be Unbroken, I Saw the Light, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And from there, on the side, as I got older and more rebellious, I wanted to play in punk and metal bands, and I did. And right up until I joined the Army when I was 18 years old, actually left on my mom's birthday. She wasn't too happy about that. But she said it was a very sad day. And I swear up and down I didn't do that on purpose. That was Uncle Sam, wasn't me. But I had them ship me my guitar to Germany. That was my first duty station I was at. And it was the first time I'd ever played by myself. I didn't have a band. And so I really leaned into songwriting and everything. And it just it didn't really get serious until about 3 years ago, surprisingly. I always did it for fun, but I didn't start doing the whole career thing until about 3 years ago because I had to. But yes, those are my roots.
Well, what you say, so it's just been relatively recent, really, when you think about it, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
What prompted going in that direction?
Well, I got out of the active duty military and I was in the reserves and I was working a day job. And the day job just wasn't really conducive with a family life. We were real stressed about that. And we were looking around trying to get out of there somehow and like probably get me back into the government in a different role. And, so I started doing that. I started doing the music just because it felt like that was the only thing I could do while I was waiting for other jobs. So I started writing more songs. I got involved with the Nashville Songwriters Association, pitched a few songs through them to a couple different publishers, had a few picked up. I don't know what happened to them. I just know the publishers took a hold of them. But, last year is whenever it really hit was, I lost my job 2 days before Father's Day.
Oh my.
And it was at a moment's notice. We didn't see it coming at all. And I was unemployed for about 6 months and I started playing shows just because it was the only thing I could do to, keep the lights on because with my certain type of job, there's not a whole lot of it in Michigan. Because typically, rule of thumb, wherever you find an active duty military base, that's where I'll find a job. And there aren't any active bases in Michigan. I think there's a reserve unit, but that's about it.
That's correct.
So I started playing shows as often as I could. It averaged out to about, you know, 3-4 times a week. And during that time, I would only eat, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, maybe 4 times a week, just because it would be the free food that the bars would give me, so I could make sure that Veronica, my 2-year-old, and Alex had something to eat and we can keep the lights on. By the grace of God, you know, I got I met the guys in Six Shot Whiskey, and they kind of took me under the wing. They were looking for a new singer, and they liked the way I sing for some reason. So they oh, thank you. Appreciate it. And so they kind of took me under their wing, and got to do a lot of really cool stuff with those guys. We played Comerica. We played a few rodeos, really cool private parties and stuff. Blake's Hard Cider, their 10th year anniversary. And unfortunately, the time came when I had to leave. I finally got a job offer down in Ohio, back in my home state. And then I've been here ever since. And then out of the blue, I got an email from the A&R at Edgewater, and then everything kind of just took off from there.
Well, you mentioned Six Shot Whiskey. You were playing with them for quite a while. Very well-known band around here, throughout Michigan, throughout the Midwest, for that matter.
Yeah.
And you were the front man for them.
Yep, absolutely.
Talk a little bit, if you would. Well, that experience obviously leads into some of the songs that you've got now. And one of those that we've got queued up is Hell Meets Hallelujah. Tell us a little bit about, and as I'm listening to this song, I'm thinking there's probably some influence from Dad and what he was doing as a preacher that comes into this song, perhaps?
Kind of partly fact, partly fiction.
Well, I make up a lot.
Yeah, it was the story of that song, there's kind of two pieces to it. So I remember I'm trying to think about how to say this without making people mad, I won't name names, but there was a certain person that I came in contact with, and I was around him quite frequently, and he used to make fun of me for wearing boots and jeans and stuff and writing country songs or, you know, just music in general. And he would dig at me pretty hard. And I just had like this kind of thought in my mind. I'm like, this dude don't know me. Like, man, like my dad was a steer wrestler and he was in PBR. Like, you know what I mean? Like my dad was an actual cowboy. You know what I mean? I mean, me on the other hand, I'm just a hillbilly who knows how to ride a horse, but that doesn't matter. You know, so then you get, that line, I'm a little John Wayne, I'm a little Keith Whitley, I'm a bit of Billy Graham and a whole lot of Willie, and I don't think you know where I'm coming from. That was kind of like the thing that was just kind of ringing in my head, and I was like, man, that sounds kind of cool, I ought to do something with that. And the second part of that song, where the whole overarching story that it kind of follows, like this guy running from the law, actually that night I had a dream. And that was the dream I had, was I robbed a freaking gas station with some buddies of mine, and we were on the run from a law, and then a crooked preacher tried to steal the money from us in my dream. And then I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. I ought to do something with that. And then Hell Meets Hallelujah was born. So the song was a little bit born out of spite and a little bit out of my crazy dreams. But
trying to set the record straight.
Yeah. Something like that.
CSI. Thriller.
There's an episode here. Yeah.
Well,
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I was gonna say if anybody wants to turn that into a story or whatnot, and turn it into a TV show or a book, by all means, go ahead. Because I'm not gonna say no.
You'll sell them the rights.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All righty. Well, let's give this a listen. Jake Hauser, Hell Meets Hallelujah.
Make it to the other side. Now I'm floating down the river with a boatload of sinners, and we're headed up before sin was gonna do me in. Lawman came a knocking, that's a whole nother problem. So I split town, crossed those state lines. Coming back around was just a matter of time. It's been 7 long years since I've been here. Staring at tombstones, waving hello to the old friends I used to know. There's a few good reasons that I'm 6 feet below. I'm a little John Wayne and a little Keith Whitley. I'm a bit of Billy Graham and a whole lot of Willie. You think you know where I'm coming from? I was raised on a Bible and a 30-eyed gospel on a backwood 40 in a 10 revival. Across the county line, I was baptized on the banks of a river outside of a town where hell means hallelujah. Swore to God I'd make it out alive and make it to the other side. Because the gun felt good in my hand.
Hallelujah. Jake, that's a great tune. Absolutely love that one.
Thank you.
You talked a little bit about the whole deal with Edgewater. Tell us how that came about and what are you, I mean, this has got to be really exciting on your end.
Yeah. So how that came to be, I managed to get an email for that, the head A&R, over at Edgewater. And, I bugged the crap out of him about a year and a half ago, or maybe even 2 years ago. And, he was just like, yeah, cool, man. That's awesome. Cause I didn't really have a whole lot to show, you know what? And, so he's just kind of like, yeah, man, cool. Come back when you have something. And I'm like, okay. And, then just, on a whim, he hit me back up about a year later and, he said, hey, are you still interested? I've been watching what you got going on here. And like, I think we might have something that we could do for you. And I said, yes, absolutely. I'm not going to say no.
Sure.
And, so we've been running a promotion campaign. We did a fundraiser and, we raised, $11,380 so far for, so that's to help us get to Texas, hire some studio musicians to come in, just everything surrounding the record.
That's
and,
fantastic.
So this is kind of like a one-time production deal. So they're catered to independent guys like me. And, but they give us the power, of major label distribution. So, I can't say who the major label distributor is. I can tell you guys off air, but I just can't say anything until the whole thing comes out.
Words, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I can't say who just yet, but I have to wait until the music actually comes out for that. But
how great, but yeah, that kind of a marketing support behind you, you get this all put together in the manner in which I'm certain you're excited about and you're going to be confident in, and then to have that kind of a machine behind you has got to be that's career building.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting, just because Edgewater, they're kind of like a hidden gem that not a lot of people know about, but once you actually start digging into who they are and what they have done, it's insane. I mean, for example, I mean, a lot of the people that they've worked with before, they've gotten music placements on TV shows like Yellowstone, even movies, a whole list of just Netflix TV shows. And I'm just thinking, I mean, I can get my song on TV. My mom would love that.
We'll make up for the departure on her birthday.
It might be a start, you know, but Yeah, she holds grudges. You know, that Southern Georgia hospitality thing, it only goes so far. So.
That's right. It's when you hear bless your heart and you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Full name, you know, like your first, middle, last, and then there's another word after that.
Well, actually, she never gets my name right because I'm the last one out of seven. Like, she usually goes down the whole list of boys before she actually gets my name right. She's like, Tommy, Noah, Jake, John, dang it! Like she usually gets there after the third name, but she comes around to it.
There you go. My mom used to throw the dog's name in from time to time, so I can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you talk about working with Edgewater and writing the music and they saw something they liked. What's your process when you're putting together a song? You know, you mentioned the dream and some of the things that kind of came together with Hell Meets Hallelujah. I know it's different for every songwriter. What's your process like?
Well, I wish I knew, but... You know, typically, like if you want kind of like kind of the, I guess you could say like the very, I wouldn't say generic, but kind of like the physical aspect of it. Usually I'll start with a melody that'll be in my head or something. I'll be driving down the road and I'll see something and then it makes me say something out loud. And I'm like, oh, wait, I could use that for a song or whatnot. But that's usually how the song will begin. And either that or something will be weighing real heavy on my mind. And I just want to get that emotion out. And just kind of get those thoughts onto paper. And now when I'm actually writing the song, it's kind of, this is where it gets really strange because I really don't know how. It's almost, because I mean, I've had moments where, you know, I'll sit down with a cup of coffee or something and, you know, 4 hours will go by and it'll have felt like 15 minutes. And, you know, and I won't realize it until I go to grab the coffee and it's cold. So I'm you know, like it's like you kind of, It like the best way that I can describe it, excuse my Ohio education, but it almost feels like the words are kind of just like popping up in the air. And it's like, I'm just kind of like picking and choosing which ones that would go. It's almost like putting a puzzle piece together almost. But yeah, it kind of just feels like the words and a lot of things just kind of appear. And it's up to me to just figure out which ones need to go where.
Gotcha. That's very interesting. I like the way you're describing the creator there.
Yeah, it's a little unorthodox, probably.
Hey, but if it works, it works.
Yeah. Hey, my dad always said, if it's stupid, but it works, it's not that stupid then, isn't it?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
He's wise.
So the next one we've got queued up is Don't Drink the Water. Tell us a little bit about what went into this and what should we be listening to?
So Don't Drink the Water, that one, I don't know if y'all remember, but that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. And
sure enough.
That's what originally sparked the inspiration for that song. And, you know, and with me being in the government, I can be very opinionated about the way that our government does things. And, you know, like, especially with me being in the government, it's like, I know we can do things better. Like, why aren't we type of stuff? And so I developed some opinions and I just saw how East Palestine was handled and it was just heartbreaking. I mean, it's like they just blew these people off. And then, you know, and then you think back to other similar instances like that. I mean, take Flint, for example. That's, you know, I mean, you could argue that Don't Drink the Water is more about Flint than probably just about anything. I mean, and it's just, you know, government, like, you know, like they come in and these people can't drink, they can't bathe. And, you know, they're just kind of, they shrug their shoulders and say, sorry, you know, like, and, yeah, that's how that one came to be. And, the interesting part about that was, the development of that song. That was, the only song that I've recorded in a studio actually. And, I recorded that actually in, at Willis Sound over in Willis, Michigan. So I got in with those guys and, phenomenal studio. I mean, it spoke to me. I mean, like I researched it for about 2 years before I finally went there with something. And I said, I want to go there because it was an old 1800s church that got converted into a studio. And I'm like, well, I mean, I got started in a church. Might make sense for me to go there. And I have a really weird story about it. Like, I promise you, I'm not a lunatic, but like, it's just too cool not to talk about. So, first off, I want to preface, like, I do not want this to you know, deter anybody from going to Willis Sound, in my opinion, is probably one of, if not the best studio in Michigan. So, but when we were tracking the song, I showed up. It was just me and the engineer, and we get the vocal and the guitar done in one take. So then from there, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the drums, the percussion, and whatnot. So we decided I wanted to keep it real raw. I didn't really want to have a whole drum set. I just feel like it didn't fit the song. So we got a kick drum, obviously. So we got the kick drum, and we were going back, and I was like, man, we need something for a snare. And then we were going back into their little closet where they have all the goodies for, you know, fancy sounds and whatnot. And there was a washboard there. And what's crazy about it is that washboard was actually made in my hometown.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was like, how in the heck? Yeah, like, Penn County, it's a little ink stain on the map of Ohio. Like, nobody knows anything about it. You know, it's a nowhere town. You know what I mean? And but the crazy part was after we tracked the washboard, we used some chains to act as like cymbals or whatnot. And this is where the story gets weird. So I'm in the church. It's literally just me in the main, like the main area where all the congregation used to have been. And in that studio, they have soundproof doors. Like, they're heavy. Like, you got to put some man behind them to get them to shut and open and whatnot. And while we were tracking, I had my headphones on, so I can't hear. But I felt like a gust of wind, kind of like almost like somebody opened the door and walked past me. And so I follow where it felt like the wind was going. I just look up, and the, what would you call it? It used to be the front entrance of the church, but there's a room back there where they, I think they track certain other things. And I watched the light flip on. So I was like, huh. So I just figured somebody walked in, like maybe like another engineer showed up and he had to go do something. I was like, okay, it's fine. It's cool. Whatever. And then, we finished the song, all the tracking's done. And, so I make my way back to the control hub where the engineer's sitting. And like I said, that door is real heavy and it's soundproof. Like, you gotta put some strength behind it to get that thing to shut.
Sure.
And oh, and I guess I should mention, I asked the engineer over the talkback mic if anybody came in, and he said no. So I was like, so I go into the engineer room and I forgot to shut the door all the way. And as I said that, before I could even walk out the door, you hear that door shut, and it's loud. Like, it's not like, you know, just like little, like a tiny little door. Like I said, you got to push that thing shut.
So then
I look at the engineer, and then I was like, hey, so, you want to tell me something, dude? And then, and then he looked at me and he said, well, he's like, if something's here, he's like, I think they're nice. Cause I mean, we haven't been struck by lightning or anything yet. So I mean, like, they must like what we're doing. So, but yeah, that's my crazy story about recording like Don't Drink the Water.
That now goes to be the best story we've had so far.
I think so.
I tell you what, I got plenty of stories that we probably don't even have enough time for, but I'll try to fit some fun ones in.
The moral is, don't shut the door
in a church
when you're doing this. All right, let's give this one a listen, and we'll listen for the washboard, and we'll listen for the chains, and we'll listen for the door closing too.
Yeah,
this is Jake Hauser. Don't Drink the Water.
Into town in a suit and tie, promising jobs in a brand new way of life. Slick talking man from the city, a silver tongue and a glint in his eye. He said, you can kiss these haulers' troubles goodbye. He won them over with his honeyed words, promising riches and a life without hurt, and the townsfolk agreed to let them build on their land. Well, after after they signed the dotted line, he said, don't drink the water. So don't you all know that the devil is disguised as a man? You take all your food so you'll weed right out of his hand. We traded our lives all for his filthy dollars. So y'all should be fine so long as you remember. Don't drink the water. Built a brand new rail on the land, but this one here's different. It ran down deep in the cave, but it didn't come out. The sky turned red and the clouds went black. The men who went down, no, they never came back. And the almighty dollar came at a steeper price. Families, they were crying, wondering where did they go wrong. The water's no good, all that's left is mud and stone. The well ran dry and the creeks were quicksand. Fish are all dead, washed upon the land. And that smooth-talking devil's off to the next damn town. So don't you all know that the devil is disguised as a man? Take all your food so you'll eat right out of his hand. Traded our lives all for his filthy dollars. So y'all should be fine so long as you remember. Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water. That's Jake Hauser. Jake, I tell you, it's really interesting from my standpoint is now to hear the story behind the song and even the story about who your visitor may have been closing the door there. I mean, that adds character to this. But just hearing what you were talking about as far as what you were trying to accomplish with the sounds, the kick drum, and not having the full band necessarily behind you, adds to the drama and adds to the message.
Thank you so much. That's what I was hoping to convey. Glad it worked.
This is one of the things I think Quarter Peep and I have an advantage. We get to hear folks like you talking about what actually made this. What was I trying to accomplish? And man, that's, you nailed it with that. That's a fantastic tune. So tell us a little bit about what's on the horizon for you, Jake. You know, when we were talking about the Edgewater opportunity and certainly the music that's going to come out of that. But where are you? What's your concentration now? What's happening with Jake House?
I'm trying to kind of take a break from the business side. And when I say take a break, I mean just do less of the business side so I can focus more on, you know, writing, again, booking shows and stuff. I'm even reaching out to a few people down here that I really like, looking about doing some co-writes and stuff and, you know, help them. They help me kind of like fit for that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know? But, I have one big show lined up, that's, August 9th and 10th. So I'm sort of hosting / opening at a country music festival in Alpena, Michigan.
Hey, fantastic.
So it's the Sunrise Side Country Music Festival. The first night is just going to be me. So it's Friday, August 9th. So it's just going to be 90 minutes of me and an acoustic guitar kind of opening the festival off, right?
Yeah.
And kind of like talking through some of my songs and kind of, you know, hyping people up for what's about to come over the weekend. And then I'll actually be opening up for a really cool dude on a Saturday the following day. So it's Gary Nichols. He's actually a member of the Chris Stapleton's bluegrass band, the Steel Drivers. Yeah, so I'll be opening up for him amongst some other people. So I'm super excited for that. Hopefully, you know, snag a drink of bourbon with that guy. Talk about some cool stuff. I'm real excited for the music that I have planned. The stuff that's on the record, it, like, don't get me wrong, you can tell it's me, because I still kind of sound like me no matter what I do, you know, but it's so much different than the stuff that I have out right now, and hopefully it's good. So I'm kind of tapping into that that younger version of me. I can tell you the title of what we're going to call it. So we're going with Ain't Country. So I actually released an acoustic version of the song earlier this year, but the full band version is just insane. It's a flat out punch to the face. It's almost like punk, like almost like punk rock country type of deal. And then I got some really mandolin heavy stuff, kind of borderline poppy type stuff. I'm just really tried to branch out and, you know, not kind of just put myself in that box. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound country enough, or, you know what I mean? Just wanting to write what I want to write, as long as it sounds good. And the people that I show it to, like kind of like as a test run, if they like it, then I go with it. But yeah, it's, I'm just so excited.
So what's the time frame on all this coming out, Jake?
So I'm shooting to get it recorded before or by October. So I just started talking with Derek, the head producer over at Edgewater down in Sugar Land, Texas. And we haven't started talking dates yet, but I know that I've been to Texas in the summertime too many times during the Army, and I'd much rather be there in the fall. So, you know, and yeah, so hopefully I'm shooting for October. Derek may tell me, no, loser, we're going to do it like next week. So it's kind of hard to say right now, but yeah, I mean, like, hey, they give me the opportunities. Like, they tell me to jump, I say how high. So
absolutely. So tell us a little bit about where folks can find you, Jake. You know, we obviously will have the things that are coming out with Edgewater, and we're certainly going to give some play to the festival there in Alpena, the 9th and 10th of August. We'll let folks know about that on our program as well. But if somebody wants to look up Jake Hauser, where do we find you?
I'm at Jake Hauser Music across all things. So that's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I'm on YouTube.
And now Vehicle City Sound, too. So
there we go. All
right. Well, the last one that we've got queued up for you, Jake, is High Water. Tell us a little bit about High Water.
So that one, there's another story for that one. So, and it's kind of interesting. So I like to think of High Water as a soundtrack to a tornado for a specific reason. Oh, whoopsie daisy. But sorry about that. I don't know if you can hear that. But
all right, we have had such a great time with Jake Hauser tonight. It's been a lot of fun to hear his stories, hear where he's come from, what he's done. We got one more to play for him, one more queued up. This is one called High Water. This is Jake Hauser. Thank you. That's Jake Hauser, High Water. Love that one. He told us it could be a little bit of everything in that one. It sure was. So I really enjoyed that. Glitter Pete, who we got on next week?
Oh my gosh. So we have this incredible, unique band, a little jazzy, a little rock and roll. So if you might know who we're talking about, Euclid Hotel.
We're looking forward to that. We got the opportunity to see them up at the Vault a couple months ago. They can bring it.
They are amazing on stage. So if you have an opportunity to see them, listen to them, here's your chance.
Make sure you do it. Hey, that's a wrap on tonight's show. We want to thank our guest, Jake Hauser, one more time. Jake was fantastic. Love the stories, love the music. Make sure you get out and hear him, this new record deal he's got. He's going to be out there soon. I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. If you're listening to us on any of the podcast platforms that you happen to grab us, we appreciate it. If you want to know more about where we're going to be, what our merch is like.
We have some new merch too, by the way.
VehicleCitySound.com. If you want to let us know how we're doing, maybe you got a suggestion for us, you can email us at VehicleCitySound@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We appreciate you being with us. Be good.